I was actually going to be speaking about self-control and all the things that that entails, but God changed my mind, and tonight I'm going to be referring to Romans 12, 1 through 2. And I have the message, so it's probably going to be a lot different from all of your translations, but basically, I'm not going to bother reading it, but basically it reads that if we will sacrifice ourselves to Him, if we'll give ourselves up to Him, if we'll forget who we are and just forget who we've become in this world and give ourselves to Him, He will not only help us with what we're dealing with, but He'll transform our minds and He'll renew us. He'll transform us through the renewing of our minds. And sometimes, gosh, I'm having trouble thinking right now because I'm not relying on Him. If you'll just recognize that you are not your own, He'll free you from whatever it is you're dealing with. If you will just I'm scared.
Come on. You can do it.
Now I feel like an idiot. Okay, who really loves what they have going on in their life right now? Okay. Well, I mean, yeah, you've probably got, you know, girlfriends, boyfriends. You probably have, you know, really awesome job, good friends. You probably even have some sins that you really like. Something in your life that just does not belong. And God does not want you to have that. Will you give it up to Him? Like we were saying, will you surrender it to Him? Like Matt was saying. If you'll do that, He'll change your thinking process. And He'll help you to realize that whatever it is you're dealing with, He can break it. Yeah, that's something that He's shown me this year in my life, that nothing is too big for Him, and that, John 3:16, who knows what that says? Say it. Right. So, when you consider that, is it really too much trouble to give yourself to Him and obey Him when He asks you to do something?
No.
Even if you feel like you're about to die because everyone's staring at you and lights are on you? First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 says that our bodies and our lives, God bought them when He died on the cross. And we have no right to them. That's what I'm speaking to you about tonight. Okay. What I'm speaking to you tonight is that when temptation comes around and you can't figure out if you should do it or not, if you think, oh, well, I really want to take it. Should I? Should I take it? Should I not take it? What you need to realize is that it's not your choice, that you have no right to even consider such things, that all what you have to do is just think about what is good and right and pure and whatever else that is that way, to think about such things. And if you will leave it up to God, He will overcome whatever it is you're dealing with. Whatever sin is in your life that you feel like is holding you back, that you feel like is dragging you down, that will probably end up killing you if you don't get out of it, God can help you with that. somewhere in Romans. I'm so terrible. I can't believe I don't know where that is. But somewhere in Romans, it says that no temptation has yet come on to you that no other man has battled and not won. Let me reword that. No temptation that Satan throws at you is too big. That there's always a way out. And if you will just ask God to show you the way out and not rely on your own strength but on His, He will show you the way out and He will get you out of that and He will free you from it. So I guess that's basically my message tonight. It's not very long. Whatever you're dealing with, when there's something in your life and someone keeps telling you that, you know, you need to get out of that, and you say, well, I just can't help myself. No, actually, you won't help yourself. There is nothing too big for you. If you rely on God's strength and God's strength alone, there is nothing too big. Philippians 4:13. Yes. And so He will even in time improve your ability to speak in front of people. So I don't know, something I have trouble with are fits of rage. I blow up, and not just on on everyone. I try not to blow up on people that are not my brother, and then I blow up on my brother. And this is totally metaphorical, but you know, what if one day you happen to be picking your brother up from the community college that he goes to, and there was a misunderstanding with the phones, and you both got angry, and you very calmly let him know quietly that you were angry at him, and so he hit you, and you screamed at him, and a power-hungry, you know, campus guard that obviously failed his police exam came over and got way too involved. I mean, supposing something like that happened, that wouldn't have happened if I had given my anger problems to God. I now have a permanent record at a college that I don't even go to. So, if I had given my anger to God, if I'd just given up to Him, it wasn't too big for me. I could have resisted, because I have God in me. I could have resisted. And the same goes for you. Whatever it is, anger or sex or anything else. I'm not talking about that. Whatever it is, it's powerless. It has no power over you because you are no longer a slave to the sinful nature. You are slaves of righteousness. And this wasn't the message I was planning on speaking, so I really don't remember the references. But you're enslaved to God. If you've made the choice and given yourself up to Him, if you prayed the prayer and if you in front of a bunch of people and declared that you believe in God, you're enslaved to Christ. And that's something that needs to be cheered about. Because it sounds crazy, but I don't know, it's good. And because we are enslaved to Christ, He owns us and He can do whatever He wants with us and He will keep Satan from... I don't know, when something is yours, when you have a possession, you want to protect it. You want to keep it safe. You don't want smudges to get on it. You don't want it to get dirty on the inside or on the outside. And that's what God does. If we've given ourselves to Him, He takes care of us. He loves us so much, and he owns us. We're His possession. And so He protects us from Satan and from everything that he can do from us. So the next time you come across something that seems like there's no way of escape, next time you feel like there's no possible way that you could say no, it's not your decision. You're owned. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to God, and He's taking care of you. We'll just rely on Him totally. He will deliver you, and He'll make a way out for you. And I guess that's it. Right, so that wasn't even my message.
All right, give David another big hand. How many of you guys know that's not easy to do, right? Who would like to get up here and follow him up? Yeah, it's not easy to get up and speak in front of people and to obey God when he speaks. So, David, we appreciate you being willing to share with us what God put on your heart. Right, don't we? I do. I just want to read that verse that he touched on there, Romans 12:1. Does anybody have their Bible here tonight? If you've got your Bible, raise it up. Let's see your Bible. All right. Let's look it up. Let's look up this verse, Romans 12:1. It's on page 1095, if you were wondering what page it was on. Yeah, ha ha, ha 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 ha, ha ha ha. Okay, Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your, if you want to, you can, which is your, if you feel like it today, go ahead and do it. No, it says, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What David was talking about is that we don't really have a choice. It's not, if I feel like serving God today, I can do it. If I feel like saying no to the flesh and temptations today, I can do it. It's no, this is what God expects from us. We've been bought with a price. Jesus paid for our salvation on the cross with his blood. He now expects us to walk in that freedom from sin, that freedom from bondage. You know, he doesn't expect us to continue to fall day in and day out and to sin and fall back and to fall back. That's not the life God intended for us to live as Christians. He intended us for us to walk in victory. It's our reasonable service to him to sacrifice our flesh and our earthly desires on the cross, just like he died on the cross for our sins. And that's what David was talking about. He's saying it's not really our choice to continue to live in sin. That's not the life God called us to live as Christians. He called us to live a victorious life, overcoming sin, and he provided the means for that and the power for that through his son dying on the cross in Jesus Christ. And so really that's what I think David was trying to say, and he did a very good job of, and I just want to commend him again for doing that. I want to read one more verse to you guys, and it's Galatians 5, verse 9, and it reads this, hold on a second, who's ever baked bread? Anybody in here ever baked a loaf of bread? Now, what are some of the ingredients for baking a loaf of bread? Flour, water, hamburger, did somebody say hamburger? Is that just me here? Sugar. Butter. Eggs. Do you put eggs in bread? Yeast. Yeast. What's yeast also called? What's another word for yeast? Another word for yeast is leaven. Okay? In Galatians 5:9. And how much yeast do you put into a little loaf of bread? Do you put like a whole cup of yeast? A little pinch, right? And what does the yeast do? Anybody know what? Has anybody ever baked bread without yeast? What happened when you bake your bread without yeast? It was just gross, right? It was sour and flat, and it didn't get all puffy and nice and sweet, and mommy, this tastes so good. It was like, mom, this bread is garbage, throw it away, right? No? Have you ever tasted bread without yeast? It's gross. It's nasty. But how much do you put in? You put a little pinch, right? You just get the little, and then you drop it, right? Just a tiny bit of yeast, a tiny little bit of yeast causes the bread to rise, right? Okay, here's this verse, Galatians 5:9. A little yeast leavens the whole lump, right? A tiny bit of yeast works its way all throughout the bread and causes it to rise. What Paul is talking about here is sin. The tiniest bit of sin, if you let it get into your life and you let it be unchecked, it'll continue to grow. It'll continue to spread. It'll continue to sink its roots deep down into your life. And it'll start to affect you. And you might not even realize what's going on. You might not realize why you're having a tough time at school or why you're lashing out against your parents. But it's that little tiny bit of sin that you let get in there. And you didn't check it on its way in. You just let it kind of work its way in. It leavens the whole lump. It'll affect your whole life. And that's what David was talking about here, is saying no to those little temptations that want to grab us and choke us out. It's not the big sins, you know. It's not I wake up one day and I think, hey, I'm going to go like rob a bank and kill somebody, and then I'll be a millionaire. You know, that's not how it starts. You know, nobody wakes up one day, you know. People don't wake up on their honeymoons and be like, yep, I think I'm going to divorce my wife today. I think I'm going to leave her. No, it's a little bit over time that it gets eroded. It's tiny little things that get into your life. It's little sins that you begin to contemplate things and you don't check them. And after time, it weaves its way into the entire fabric of your life. And then you start making some really stupid decisions that don't just affect you, but it affects your family around you. It affects generations after you. And that's what Paul's talking about here. Maintain your life so that in such a way that you don't let those little sins get in there. There's another verse that says, it's the little foxes that spoil the harvest. It's the little ones that get in there. It's not the big ones. You know, it's not the big, like, Papa Bear that comes in and is, like, eating, you know, the corn. You know, you can see him. You can kill that guy with the shotgun. You know, boom, okay, Papa Bear, you're dead. All right? It's the little tiny foxes that get in there and they eat at the bottom. They eat at what is that, like the stalk? Oh, the underbrush. They get into the cornfield and they eat not the roots, but like right above the root, right where it comes out. The stalk, the stem, they get in there and they eat down there where you can't really see the damage they're doing. You look across your beautiful cornfield and you don't see any black bears eating there eating corn. I don't think bears eat corn, but whatever. It's the little foxes that get in there and they chew and they eat and they gnaw away. And then you go to reap your harvest and all your corn stalks fall over because the little fox got in there. It's the same way with sin. We have to live our lives in such a way that we recognize sin, we recognize it when it presents itself, and we can say no. And we can say, no, I'm not going to go there. I have been bought with a price. It's no longer my life that I live, but now Jesus lives through me, just like Paul said in Galatians. So I didn't know what David was going to talk about. I thought he was going to talk about self-control tonight. And then the Lord led us to surrender some things on the cross during worship. And so I'd like everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes again. I really feel that tonight hasn't just been an accident and that this isn't, a coincidence and que sera sera, but that God had a purpose for you being here tonight. And that if you're going through something tonight, God can set you free from that. If you've been battling with sin or bondage tonight, God can set you free. You don't have to walk out of here tonight dealing with the same junk garbage that you walked in here with. You can walk out set free totally, 100%. You can walk out here liberated from those chains and those bondages that you walked in here with tonight. So just begin to think of that thing that you want to relinquish tonight. What is it that you're getting rid of? What is it that you're surrendering tonight? What are you letting go of? What are you crucifying tonight? What's that? Maybe it's just a little sin that you've been dabbling with, that you now realize that's going to spoil my harvest. That's going to spoil my life if I let that continue to go unchecked. Tonight, if you're surrendering something and you're walking out of here different tonight, I want you to just begin to stand to your feet. If you're saying, no more am I going to let this little thing hold me back, I'm not going to continue to let this sin restrict and choke out the plan and the destiny that God has for me. I'm no longer going to be enslaved to the bondages that I'm putting myself in. I want you to stand up tonight. A lot of people are standing up. I think some more should. You don't have to leave here with the heartache and the hurting and the, God, I did it again. God, I did it again. Jesus, forgive me. And then the next day, the same thing again. You don't have to leave here with that. You can leave here set free tonight. Lord Jesus, God, we just surrender these areas of our lives to you that are unpleasing. Lord, we surrender our own fleshly desires. God, we surrender the sin in our lives, Lord, that so easily ensnares us. God, we lay aside every weight that holds us back, and we pursue you, Lord Jesus, faithfully, wholeheartedly. Lord, I pray for each one of these individuals tonight. Lord, I pray that the conviction that you've put on their hearts would be so strong, Lord, that when they are tempted again, they'll remember that, no, I surrendered that tonight. I surrendered that on October 3rd, 2007. I'm no longer going to be ensnared and enslaved to the bondages of sin. God has given me power through his salvation and through his blood to walk in overcoming victory. And Lord, I pray you just remind each one of these young people of that when they struggle, Lord, because you don't tempt us with anything, and you don't allow us to be tempted with anything that's too strong for us. God, we can overcome anything through you. Lord, I pray that we would just trust in you and seek you as our source, Lord, for that strength. We wouldn't try and do it in our own. We wouldn't try and do it in our own flesh. But Lord, we would look to you for the strength to overcome sin. I'd like you to repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for setting me free tonight. I'll no longer walk in bondage because of the price you paid for me. Forgive me for continuing to put my own self into bondage. Lord, I will now walk in your freedom. In your name, amen. Thank you guys for coming tonight. High school students, do not forget about small groups at Joseph's house on Sunday, 6 to 8:30. I hope to see both of guys and girls there. And I believe we have some pizza and cookies here tonight. Andrew Hubbard has brought us all birthday cookies to help share in his celebration. So go grab yourself a birthday Andrew Hubbard-sized cookie, and we'll see you on Sunday night.